We are joined by Natasha Huguet-Henchy, Principal Consultant at NMG Benefits, to talk international retirement plans and pensions as a great way to hold offshore assets. Natasha, thank you so much for joining us on 702 Afternoons. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lebo, and thanks for your welcome. Nice to chat to you and your listeners.
So I have to start by asking, how rich does one have to be to even think about, you know, holding offshore assets?
Well, it depends on the way you want to do it. So you don't actually need to be that rich. So if you invest in a South African retirement annuity fund, you can put up to 45% of your investments offshore through that South African vehicle.
Yes.
And those retirement annuity funds will take, you know, investments as small as 500 or 1,000 rand a month. So you don't have to be that rich.
Okay, and I think it's important we know that, because sometimes a person says offshore and they already imagine multi-millions of dollars.
So, I mean, obviously you can go offshore directly and you can make use of these fancy offshore endowment, you know, products. There are alternative ways of doing this. Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about retirement plans and pensions. What is the current setup right now in terms of what is available to South Africans that is different to what South Africans can do offshore?
Okay. So if you've got lots of money, you can use these offshore endowments. And that kind of comes through as part of your offshore allowance, your million rand per annum kind of offshore allowance. And that has a lot of tax advantages for you. You know, if you've held those products for more than 5 years, the income you can get from those products are tax-free. But those kind of products form part of your estate, so they're not necessarily protected. Whereas if you use South African vehicles, like a retirement annuity fund or a South African pension or provident fund, as I said, you could get up to 45% of your assets offshore and therefore maximize your diversity of investments that you hold and maximize your returns in that way, but still using the South African vehicle.
Okay, and of course we know with the rand dollar exchange, yeah, and all the other currencies, you really can get bang for your buck by doing it this way.
Absolutely. So you can, you can really invest in a diversified basket of international currencies. Lots of opportunities that are available offshore, and they all are available, as I said, on local platforms. Just making sure that you consult your financial advisor and choose a product that gives you that best diversity and rand hedging.
So let's chat about the tax implications of this, because we know SARS will always be there at your door.
All right. So if you're an ordinary South African and you want to make use of these benefits through your retirement annuity or through your personal pension fund, you can get up to 27.5% or a maximum of 350,000 rand tax deductible. And so effectively, you know, if you're at a 30% tax rate or whatever, for every 1,000 rand that you put in, the government actually gives you 300 rand back. So that's net income. Actually, you actually only lose 700, not lose, you invest 700 rand because you get that tax deductibility. The second benefit is that all your investment income is tax-free. And then if you on those products, when you draw those benefits as a pension, that you then pay tax as a pensioner.
Okay, so in relation to what the law currently allows locally, does the offshore still have more flexibility than what you're doing locally?
No, the offshore has similar flexibility, and it depends on the withholding tax laws between, you know, South Africa and the particular jurisdiction that you're investing in. So there are tax, but wrapping it through a South African pension fund vehicle means you get those tax advantages.
Okay, so which are the countries that, you know, the moment a person says offshore, are we thinking like these tax haven places like the Cayman Islands, or are there specific countries where it's quite simple and easy to do this?
No, so your product provider will do it for you, and they will really invest in a multiple, you know, a variety of countries. You know, they'll Japan, China, India, Brazil, obviously Europe, America, and they might use it using different forms. So you could invest using, for example, just an index. So you get the passive growth rather than necessarily, you know, going and physically buying and selling those offshore shares. Mm. So there's lots of ways of doing it.
Can you mention, you know, the different companies that are currently doing it at the moment, and we give equal opportunity to as many as possible and not promoting a specific brand?
I really, if I say each and every, just about each and every pension provider in South Africa will have something of this, you know. So NMG will have it, Alexander Forbes, Allan Gray, Sanlam, Mutual, Investec, Coronation. I'm running out of names.
There you go.
You
okay,
it.
So this, so all of them do offer this. And yes. Then the question is, would you advise that the person who wants to do this, they must not put all their eggs there when it comes to their retirement? They should still look at diversifying, so not just do offshore.
Yes, so you are restricted to. So you are restricted to kind of taking a maximum of 45% offshore. So you will then effectively, the other 55% would then be in a South African-based, you know, investments. So that gives you that diversification.
What are some of the tips that you can share with those listening? Because, you know, we actually did a series, I think a year or so ago, on retirement and pensions. And of course, many, many people were just sharing the difficulties of the economy and that they barely are even able to save. But of course, the encouragement is like, even if you start with the minimum amount, just get started. What could you share, especially just from your experience? We have young people in their 20s that maybe are just starting their first jobs, those in their 30s getting promotions, in the space of pensions and retirement plans.
So yeah, so I think definitely have the motive to pay yourself first. So set that pension fund deduction on your first salary check, and make sure that you increase it when you get any pay increase. And we do understand circumstances change. And what you really need to kind of focus in is, so let's say you start off, you've got a student debt. So you're going to be paying for student debt. As soon as that student gets paid off, take all of that money and put it into your pension fund.
Mm.
You know, you're used to living on that net income. Why suddenly increase it? You know, suddenly, okay, you'll get older, you'll suddenly have a bond, maybe you can't afford it, so you can then drop your pension fund contribution a bit. But then when the kids are out of school again and you've got a bit more tax-free income, you know, again, increase it. So make sure adapt it to your lifestyle, but pay yourself first. Make sure that the first deduction that goes off your salary is your own pension, not the last.
Especially those that are not in any kind of formal employment where your boss would be doing it on your behalf.
Absolutely.
Absolutely make sure that you commit to that. Natasha, thank you so much for sharing with us the different things that we can do when it comes to investing for our futures. And yes, international retirement plans and pensions seem to be a great way if you're looking to diversify as well, to hold your offshore assets.